Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics, some serious, some not so serious, from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz.
And Taylor.
And we've also got another guest in the, well, we can't say studio, but in the studio. And we've got Pete, Paul. There, you introduce yourself,
guys,
Paul.
You're
all right,
I'm Paul.
Yeah, nice to have you along. It's always good.
Yeah, it's good to have guests on.
Yeah, I just want everybody to get involved in this, really, and just come and have a chat.
Point of view, doesn't it?
Exactly, everyone's got a point of view to bring to the table.
Yeah,
so what's cracking? What's crack then, lads? Anything been happening?
Fishing. You've heard about the fishing ports, haven't you?
Well, what?
The fishing fleet.
Oh, the scallop wars.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it's been proper funny. Yeah. I just think with the scallop wars, though, it's like the French have taken it a little bit far. They've been like ramming boats and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit.
40 of them, something like that.
I would say it's a very, very serious situation, really. You've got a lot of fishermen being bullied by organised tactics, and it's a possibly a horrible situation for him.
But the question is, were they forced to go that way? Because it comes down to, basically, we only took about 10% from them.
They're saying that we've got in earlier than they're allowed to. They've got embargoes
Got
on when they're allowed to fish. But I think
they go away with 90% of it.
Well, here's the story. So scallop wars show that this is what people are concerned about. That scallop wars shows that UK seas will be exposed after the Brexit. I love this. Imagine having this title. The first sea lord said. And I just thought, was he talking about Aquaman? The sea lord has said. Full on scallop wars. The French and the British boats have been clashing in the Channel during this week over disputes of rights for scallop fishing grounds.
Yeah, but they're confused. They think they're Spanish.
The conquistadors. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to pick on my scallops.
Do they not remember what happened to the Spanish?
Well, no. What happened to the Spanish?
The Spanish, they got mashed up.
What? For the same thing.
Fishing rights. Well, pretty much. The Spanish, they thought he was big and hard, and they thought, right, we'll send a massive, massive fleet over, and we'll destroy the British. We'll destroy him.
Never really works out well, does it?
Bit of a storm happened. Lost half the fleet, and then the British went, oh, you lost half your fleet, have you? Bang, bang, bang.
See you later. You go.
So then they tried to escape, and they tried to go all the way around Britain and come round the other side, but guess who was waiting for him?
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Oh, you British. That was that. So I just think,
don't push it. Stop ramming the boats.
It's a bit of fish.
Well, at the end of the day, you can argue livelihoods and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, on a serious note, it's like it's down to your government to change the laws on when you can fish.
But this was the problem. This is the major problem that people.
You can't blame it on the fishermen.
An agreement that they've had for over a number of years, but the agreement run out this year. So after that meant that we technically can get bigger ships in there, take a bigger lot. Because we've only been taking 10%.
But in a way, it's like that's why they send these bigger ships in, because they've got a lot of time, which is such a short space of time to get whatever they need to get in. So, what are you going
to
do? You're
going to
go, I'm going to make 25% less than what I did last year. Or I can try and get it as much in as I can.
But retaliation for something that's already happened.
At the end of the day, if
childish.
There's that much competition for a particular spot to fish in, then just ban them from fucking fishing there.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Why did they use a UN charter and bring in that all fleets are under as the UN? But some kind of agreement that you share the wealth.
Yeah. Well,
they do with everything else. With companies,
I am very, very blue.
pardon his scallopy French.
Here's
another story. Do you know what? I noticed this on last week's, right? I keep doing a bit of a stutter, and I came across as a bit of, what's his name? Fred Elliott from Coronation Street. I say. So I'm going to try and have to stop that.
I'll say it, boys.
Here's another. Here's a brilliant story, right? We've just been caught in the eye, me and Taylor. We were just watching the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah, it was on the TV, and it wasn't the original. It was the Johnny Depp version.
Yeah,
but still. You still can't help. It was more pointing out all the things that were wrong with it than actually right with it.
Yeah.
But
whilst being on acid, to me, it's an acid trip.
Would you want to? This is a bit of an acid trip,
though.
The original. The original. Gene Wilder's just like, you can't, no comparison really, is he? But no. Have you heard that there's a real life golden ticket competition happening right now?
No.
No?
Well, no, I haven't. But I have been tricked by this shit before. I actually bought a Wonka bar.
Oh, yeah. Thinking there might be a golden ticket.
I didn't actually buy one. I bought two Wonka bars.
Right.
I bought one for me and I bought one for my son. Yeah. Corey opens it and I went, open it like the movie.
Come on, Charlie.
Like you do in the movie.
Come on, Charlie, you know it's
and
coming.
And he went, like in the movie, he looked at me, his eyes lit up,
was
little diamonds
were
coming out of his
eye. Golden.
There was a gold bit there and I went, fuck off.
No.
I feel so disillusioned.
Right, was it?
I've opened it, there's a fucking ticket in there.
Oh,
bullshit.
Joking.
I'm not going to lie.
Well, I've bought one kebabs in the past and never had a golden ticket. Was this like...
I'm over the moon at this point. I'm like texting
you're thinking you've won a lifetime supply of chocolate, potentially.
I didn't know what I'd won. It didn't say. It was a golden ticket. It just said golden ticket.
That's all you win.
Right?
You're going to take it, that's all you want.
There was nothing.
No,
so then I thought, right, I'm going to open my chocolate bar.
Did you get one?
I got a golden ticket. Then I started to feel a little bit like,
Like every kid will have a golden ticket.
The worst part about it wasn't even the fact that my golden ticket doesn't even give me a lifetime supply of chocolate or meet Willy Wonka or even meet an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
I would have been satisfied with an Oompa Loompa coming to the house.
Well, again, I'd want an original Gene Wilder Oompa Loompa, not a new modern Oompa Loompa.
Like old garden wood. It was the worst chocolate I've ever tasted.
It's like, have you ever had an Easter egg off an auntie and it's like you're opening
it
and it's
one
white?
Of those pop-up American.
Oh, those pop-up American sweet shops.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paid over the price for
that's
it.
Totally American. I could see. That's
it was
why
awful.
It's like
it was
these. That's why kids in America are so like thingy because they believe that they're all going to get a Wonka bar.
Despite
believe
that,
hard enough, kids, you can get a Wonka bar.
I still love Willy Wonka.
Everybody does.
I would suck a snozberry.
Here's an unlikely lover of the franchise or the film.
But anyway, go on.
Bronson.
Yeah.
The infamous serial killer Bronson.
Is he a serial killer?
No, he never killed anyone.
Well,
by one
person.
He's just a bit of a notorious mentalist. Yeah. Right. All right. Well, Bronson.
He likes greasing up a little.
Yeah, he does.
Just a little bit.
Well, he's gone on his website and it's a fans site that they've put together and Bronson's offering 10 lucky fans the opportunity to meet him. In the prison, and he's put out.
That's an escape plan.
It does sound like it, doesn't it? He's actually put out 10 golden tickets in fruit and nutter bars. Fruit and nutter bars are on Bronson's website for sale for £10 per piece. Well, they've made them specially, haven't they?
Nestle
probably do it because they're pretty evil.
Mars.
To be honest, Nestle might have done it. But I don't know, honestly. I don't know who's
definitely
at the end of the day, they've probably just found a random chocolate and repackaged it.
I knew it.
Yeah,
knew
they've
it.
Just repackaged some chocolates.
I'm getting rid of all that cereal.
So,
Nesquik.
What would you do?
What would you do?
Would you take him? I mean, obviously, you're buying the chocolate bar because you're a fan.
Oh, only a chocolate.
I'd buy it just for the simple fact that in 10 years' time, when that fucker dies, people pay out for it. Yeah.
What, the golden ticket or just a chocolate bar?
Yeah.
Any of it.
Well, yeah, someone
will. The fucking rapper, mate. The simple fact is, for somebody who is a prisoner who hasn't done anything with his life, apart from
cause grief,
be a bit of a dick in the social system in the prisons to the point where he's used it to his advantage and he's become a bit of a celebrity.
Yeah.
Which to me, I reckon if you actually met him, I think he would probably be quite a mental guy, where you'd be quite looking at him thinking, you're not...
He does look mental.
No, I mean, but don't get me wrong.
Please, Mr. Bonson, if you are listening, you know, we are great big fans of your work, but, you know...
Of his work?
Hey, no. Whoa. Have you not seen Bronson's artwork? He's a prolific painter, don't you know? If you look on Google, you'll be able to find some of Bronson's paintings.
Genuinely, he is an artist, and you can actually find it. He's wrote a couple of ghost books as well.
He's probably had a ghostwriter, but he's had some published books, hasn't he?
Made his money.
Well, we could don't want to go on about that all night, but we've got last bit of news. Have you seen that ghost ship that kind of just turned up?
I haven't. I only heard about this a few hours ago, so go.
Right, well,
tell me all about this ghost.
Basically, about 10 years ago.
I do quite like this
one. Right. Nine.
Was it not? Yeah, roughly estimating around 9 years
ship
ago.
Ship was made in 2001.
Yeah,
are you talking a ghost ship?
No.
Or are we talking a ship that's abandoned?
It's an abandoned and it's just appeared.
Basically, it's a ship that was made for carrying cargo.
Yeah, so it's a big boat.
It was made in 2001. Yeah, so like 9 years later, it disappeared and then it's just turned up, pitched.
Yeah, it had hit a sandbar.
Yeah, and it'd been there for a couple of days.
Yeah, so who actually noticed it? Was it like just the authorities, kind of Coast Guard and stuff, noticed that there was this runaground boat? Because
Where was it actually?
Because I was trying to remember earlier and I had no idea.
It was round about the Philippines.
Was it? Right, yeah. Okay. Because what they were saying was that they thought at first that it was Somali pirates that had actually like took.
I first thought that.
Yeah, but like apparently the cargo had totally been stripped off the boat, right? The crew totally missing.
Yeah.
Nobody's seen anything, right? Yeah. But usually in these situations, these bodies. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not gonna just like leave. Everyone alive.
Well, no, because sometimes they take the people, put them on smaller boats, and then take them to a shore, and then hold them hostage, and try and get money that way.
Yeah, potentially.
I did actually hear of a story recently of a particular person who was held hostage, who was caught on a boat. Oh, actually, no, he wasn't caught on a boat. He was caught by pirates on land.
Right, okay. So that's
pirates
unusual, yeah.
Are not just... on boats, they are on land as well. But he got caught by
pirates.
There
you go, kids. Watch out for pirates.
And was held hostage for
several
years.
But pirates aren't necessarily bad. And I'll tell you why.
Well, Captain Jack Sparrow is quite a friendly guy. I would say I would have quite...
Well, there's a lot of fallacy about pirates.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, there is quite a fine line between pirate, because you've got pirates.
Well, piracy is just
profiteers.
Yeah. but profiteers are like sanctioned, you're allowed to go out.
Yeah, well, this is where Captain Kidd went wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Captain Kidd was a sanctioned
privateer.
But they weren't,
all he had to do was attack ships that were against the British Crown. But he decided that, there's certain ships that, in his mind...
Oh, yeah, which were off limits, which, like, he was like, I'm not really prepared to touch them.
But he did. And,
well, that was his issue, wasn't it?
Yeah, and ended up being executed and hung. For his crimes.
Didn't he? Actually, this kind of does segue quite well into the main topic, which we'll get into in a minute, actually, which is we're going to have a talk about the mysterious Oak Island, which I don't know if you've ever seen the Discovery Channel programme, which...
Yeah, I used to be a big fan of it, but then it started like, well...
Well, we all agree it was a good show about telling you not very much.
It's still a good show. And
I love it. It keeps me fascinated every week.
Still... If there is another season coming out, I would be watching it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually do hope that there is, because I think they've been given a lot more planning permission than the Laginas.
I've been keeping up out of season.
I've been trying to keep up out of season, but they don't really seem to release that much.
Well,
a lot of it's under embargo, and especially if they release too much, then...
Because you kind of want to know if they found something.
Has... one slant on what Oak Island is. Oak Island is a big mystery that's been around for a very long time. And a lot of people have their own ideas of what Oak Island is.
Yeah. There's definitely evidence that there's something has gone on there.
Just the simple fact that so many people, without much evidence, I've spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of time.
There is a nickname for a particular area on Oak Island, which is called
the money pit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The reason why it's called the money pit is
not because there's a lot of money at the bottom of the pit, let's put it that way. It's because...
Well, we don't know, we haven't hit the bottom yet.
It's because, really? Basically, the amount of people that have sunk their entire life savings into this adventure...
Eight million, then.
So... You might not be aware of this mystery, but it's something that's been going on for hundreds of years now, isn't it? It's basically the story goes that years ago there was a young lad, was he called Daniel McGuinness?
Yeah.
He was fishing in the lake, and this is just a kind of like a stone's throw from Nova Scotia in Canada, in Alaska, and Oak Island's just off land there, and
about
a mile offshore, and it's a kind of an odd shaped little island, and McGuinness is kind of fishing, and he says that he sees a light over on the island, so he rows his boat over to the island there, and he comes onto the island, and he sees by lantern light.
He's
going through the jungle there, and he sees an old oak tree in a clearing, and on the oak tree this hangs a sort of like a winch, a pulley sort of thing. And then, like I say, you were saying about Captain Kidd, you know, pirates were kind of notorious operating in that area.
Yeah.
And it was kind of always thought that it might be a perfect place for pirate treasure and booty.
Yeah, I believe there's actually a pirate ship off the coast of there that had gone down.
Really? So probably
there
was.
I believe that there's evidence of pirates
seen around
there.
Maybe there's probably inspiration into several big movies.
Yeah. That all kind of tie into the legend.
They've got that kind of feel to them. Maybe they heard something when they was younger about this particular story, because it's not a new thing.
No.
The people that are on the island at the moment, which are called the Laginas, they're both brothers.
Yeah.
And they both have a real big interest and financial interest involved into the island at the moment.
Well, I was looking into Marty Lagina, and really, actually, he's worth quite a lot of dough, just generally, just doing what he normally does on the daily basis.
Basically,
he is a multi-millionaire.
Enjoying his life.
Yeah, well,
he's spending his money
trying to help his brother and him get answers to this question they believe that there's something at the bottom of this island.
And I sincerely hope there is something there.
So here's a bit of background. A mile in length, Oak Island is a stone's throw from Nova Scotia, and for years people have suspected buried treasure hidden and protected from treasure hunters by a curse.
There's one person
booby
who's got to die now.
Booby traps! That's
Oak
what
Island,
I said, booby traps.
Oak Island is only about 35 feet. Above sea level, which isn't very high.
No, not at all.
So if you're on the horizon, right, and you're scanning, it's going to be a very difficult island to see.
Yeah.
Especially being so close to the land as well.
That island must have been picked for some reason, some good reason.
Part of the land, or you may not even see.
Well, I'll tell you why this. Do you know why the island?
And also, there's thousands.
Well, going back to that, do you know why the island was called Oak Island?
Oak tree.
Ah, yeah. But not European oak trees. How oak trees are in Europe aren't how oak trees are over in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Now, the trees on Oak Island were palm trees, right?
Yeah.
But they actually weren't palm trees, they were a relation to the oak, right? And they knew this because, basically, and they don't believe that these oak trees were indigenous to the island, they think that they were brought there because now there were 10 oak trees on Oak Island, right? Now, these 10 oak trees, and one of the legends are, if once the last oak tree falls, the treasure will be revealed.
That's the biggest one.
The trees were so tall because of this particular breed of oak tree that they stood taller than every other palm tree on the island. So if you were approaching the island by boat, and like you were just saying about the horizon, the first thing you'd see as approaching it would be the palm trees. So it got the name Oak Island because you'd see the oak first.
I mean, well, anybody,
a little bit of
tell
interesting...
me if I'm wrong here, but as far as I'm aware, oak is another word for old, and old can also mean tall, right?
Yes,
old,
yes.
Old, tall, so I think a lot of trees were probably called oak trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta agree, yeah.
Because
they were, but
of
like
language and stuff like that. Because there is definitely
I do remember doing a bit of thingy about this because like I say, it was like the legend now is that 10 people must die before the treasure is revealed.
And there's one left.
The reason why
But this is it. It's like they think that it was a mistranslation, and it was actually when the last oak tree is cut down.
Very
so, but only when people started dying, they actually attributed
the
a curse.
You guide people away by doing that.
Oh, of course you can.
Sells it a lot more
than cutting a tree down. I totally get that, and
it does give
credence and mythos to the
legend,
doesn't it?
There's actually only one oak tree, classic oak tree, left on the island as well.
Do you reckon there's guardians?
Have a look into that, because like I say, what they consider oak on that island isn't what we consider oak in Europe, but I reckon he probably was, because like I say, there was a lot of things on the island that weren't indigenous to the area, so what was it all about? The coconut fibres?
Yeah, but there must have been a reason why they've actually picked that spot and why they've used these trees.
Well,
like I said, is there any kind of guardian still today to look out for what's going on?
Well, you,
because if you think about
you know what? What you're saying there is something maybe I've not heard before, and it's probably
a very
good idea, and it's probably worth looking into, because you never know. You do have these custodians that are very...
What, you
very
mean like the old Knights Templar?
Yeah,
like,
well, the Templars
like
apparently
the
went
end
there.
Of,
one story of a custodian.
The Last Crusade, when he gets across the thing and he's like, he sees that old knight and he says, oh, I've been waiting for you a long time.
There's a custodian today,
right.
And there's only one of this person, and he resides in a church, and this church is in Ethiopia.
This church
supposedly houses the Ark of the Covenant.
But, yeah.
There's a few places that they say that could be.
The documents lead to this place, and it's the last place. No one can go in there.
Whether it is in there or isn't in there.
But
is that a custodial
thing that's handed down? It's not going to be the same guy.
No,
is
but
it?
It got passed around.
Like a ward, and it's passed down to him the knowledge.
It's been passed around, and it's been found.
I'm going to go back into the movie reference, but like in Fifth Element. You know what I mean?
Well, I just think you never know. I think it's a very interesting thing, but there's not a lot of evidence or proof that we could delve into.
There's quite a lot of theories about Oak Island, that's the thing. And if you learn anything from watching the show, they'll bring a new theory to the table every week.
Yeah.
And I think, was it recently, they're trying to say that it, without a shadow of a doubt, it's the Knight Templar. The Knights Templar, because...
From a lot of the separate research that I've done, Knights Templar is becoming to be pretty much the leading fearer.
Yeah. It was quite a coincidence.
Becoming the leading fearer is because there's a story that not a lot of people have heard about, which is...
I hope this is the same as mine.
...that there is a particular king... interned underneath the sea, which is between Oak Island,
Aquaman,
and another island which is neighbouring it. I forget the name of the other island, but it's literally a mile away, and halfway is supposed to be this body interned, and the body is supposed to be King David.
Right, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Right? It doesn't go into it in the show, it's something totally separate, but this is...
Well, then they think they found the body at the bottom.
They found human remains at the bottom of the money pit that was, when they did the bone analysis and stuff like that, it actually came back as two different species of humanity. So say or Homo sapien, it was like a more of a Middle Eastern, and one was a European. So it was like, obviously there was multiple people at that depth, before any excavation started.
Yeah.
Right, that's what they're getting at. They're saying there's no reason why these bones should be at that depth. I think it was 120 kilometers down. And they were saying that this was pre-dig. Yeah, so no Laginas had been down there, no Dave Blankenship, no who else was it?
There's been a host of people that have gone down there.
Over the years, I mean,
But the thing is...
There's actually been some really famous people been down there.
I think there's a huge problem with Oak Island, and the huge problem is...
A lot of problems with it at the moment.
It's been over-excavated.
Yeah.
There's been so many people that have excavated on the island.
Establish what's...
That once, even in the 1960s, when... another group took over, a guy called Dave Blankenship. Yeah. When he took over, there has been that much work on the island done
that he could not originally find
where any of
the original money pit. He couldn't find any. I think a lot of the stuff that they'd brought out had been destroyed as well.
The Laginas came with a lot more modern equipment and a lot more money.
To try and kind of like get
even
it done
they in,
and get it done, but get it done with the authorities backing, so they weren't breaking any violations. Because you've got to remember, there was a lot to it. It's basically taking over an island, and saying, at any point, we want to dig here, we want to drain here, we want to do all this. It's like they can't do that without like.
The island has been very disturbed. I think anything that would have been on the surface as any kind of clue or kind of secret clue or however you want to put it
has just been destroyed.
Has gone.
But that's what makes me laugh when that guy, Gary comes along with his metal detector and starts finding a lot of surface finds. Do you know what I mean? And I can appreciate that they would be surface finds, but he does seem to find
Gary is a weird and strange metal detectorist who appeared on the show. About season 4.
Yeah,
he's
supposed to be an expert in his.
I have no doubt he is an expert detectorist. Yeah. I reckon he knows his shit and.
He knows where to put his coil.
But I also think he has agendas, and it's my own personal feelings on this, and I'm not the only one.
I honestly feel like he's a shifty guy, and I mean, I don't know why. He's just like, as well, in the first season when he arrived on the island, he was finding a lot of British coins and stuff. He's a British guy, so it was kind of like, you know,
it almost felt like a plan. Do you know what, though? I also felt that. Is it Marty Lagina, which is the younger brother who owns the oil company, who's basically put the money in?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
I also kind of got an inkling from him that he was kind of thinking...
Yeah, there's something not about you.
I want to come along.
But he did, and he ended up finding stuff.
He came along and still finding stuff.
Yeah, so potentially, yeah, he's made his mind up that he's legit. So.
Obviously, a show's edited, so I can't see the ins and outs. But what I can see, when they do find the stuff, he's... It does appear that he's genuinely finding the stuff.
Yeah. Well, what
was
that?
Just misdirection. Now he's been, like I said, he's been there from the start.
Now, I don't want to jump too far ahead.
The way shows work, I just think when you watch a show, the show's fun.
Yeah.
But take the show with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a show.
They're always going to leave you on a cliffhanger and then basically entice you with a great find and then not really give you that much.
There's different people who have different motivations in it. And
most of it's about money.
Well, obviously, it's a discovery you want to put a good show out.
Discovery are using them, vice versa, and then other promoters and God knows what. But... doesn't mean that just because this show is a bit of a parade and what have you, that there's nothing to this particular thing. Because
yeah, true.
There is.
There is something
to
it. I personally believe. So, like, I want to get back into, like, the history of the... there was that, right? But
Getting back to the lads who came back the next day.
Yeah.
And he said... they've gone to show the lad the pulley that's onto the tree.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I've seen a light, blah, blah, blah. So they've gone, oh, we'll go and investigate. They've gone and investigated. And in the daylight, they've noticed a depression in the ground.
Which would indicate to me that someone's been digging. I'd say that something heavy has been put in that hole. Yeah.
He thought instantly, pirates.
Treasure.
It's pirates.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
I think
these kind of pirate stories were probably like quite the adventure stories of the day as well. I reckon these kids were probably out actively looking for pirate treasure?
Yeah, of course.
I would be.
The stories the dad was telling about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
To the sea.
Obviously.
If, you know, ships every day.
It's plausible. Yeah, it's totally plausible. I'd definitely be like,
trapped up on that. They've got nothing else to do. They fucking grow potatoes all fucking day and fucking...
And cabbages, don't forget the cabbages.
Skip through fucking long grass.
Well, they've been. We started the story, he was out fishing, wasn't he? So that's his day, isn't he?
He's basically a land child
going out doing his stuff.
He's got a day off. He's going out, he's got his mates with him. We'll have a little dig.
So they've gone down and had a look and had a dig.
As far as the story goes, they've got down to 10 feet.
Ah, yeah, this is where they kind of come across
wooden beams or wooden logs. There's nobody quite knows. Was it logs? Was it beams? Whatever.
Yeah.
They've come to this particular... They've removed the beams, gone down another...
Now, this is only going to put in your mind, as the person digging the hole, that there's something to this.
I'd be getting excited. They've been going back every day. They've not told. They've not told a soul. Yeah. And
go on.
They've not told a soul, and gone down another 10 feet. More wood. Another 10 feet. So now they got down to 30 feet. Now it's like
back-breaking work. How would they even get out? All the little pipsqueaks.
How the fuck didn't they all collapse?
I think as teenagers, they're probably thinking that we're way out of our depth here.
Yeah.
They sacked it off.
The story had gone around about this particular hole. And
They kept it a secret, didn't they? I think they were trying to keep it a secret, but I'm not sure.
I don't think how long it lasts with kids. How long does a secret last with kids?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's going to tell his mate. Well, his mate's going to tell his mate.
But either way, they abandoned it. They abandoned it. And another more serious group got involved. It was a bit more.
I think you'll find the lads did go back and they did try and excavate it. I think the original, when they were a bit older. was one of the original lad who found it was, he went out of his way to buy some land.
Yeah.
And he propagated that piece of land where he found that hole, because he thought, I'm not letting anybody find this.
I think, if I remember rightly, one lad bought one side of the island, and one of the friends that was there originally when they started digging the hole bought another part of the island.
Because it was separate. There was separate parts of it when it first was up for sale.
It was all put into plots.
Later on, it started to be sold.
Was it Samuel Ball? Samuel Ball, who was a later inhabitant of the island. Now, he's an interesting story. He was awarded a piece of land because basically there was a thing about slavery in the States. If you fought for the revolution, you know, fought for the Civil War, not the Roundheads and Cavaliers, I'm really bone up on my American history here.
I am guessing on the American side.
Well, what were they called? They were called
the Confederates.
And the Redcoats or something like that. Yeah.
Redcoats were British.
Military history, not my forte. The side that won. If you were a slave and you were
the Union, if you fought
for the winning side, once it was over, you were awarded your freedom and a bit of something, right? So he's kind of buzzing. He's been awarded this land, right? Now, as a slave who's just kind of gone from nothing to having this piece of land, I'm a free man, yeah, but he suddenly came into so much wealth that it was a bit kind of bizarre. There was kind of tales of this Samuel Ball just kind of like splashing out his money.
Well, I think he didn't. I think he.
And there was even reports of him buying stuff with the balloons.
He bought the piece of land next to him.
He did as well. Yeah, he did. He bought a couple of plots.
Piece of land that was on the opposite side of him. So then he owned three pieces of land, and these pieces of land are in strips.
Yeah.
And I think it was about 48 lots.
Yeah.
On
the whole island. But most of this island we haven't even talked about is bogland. It's like a swamp
land. It's basically, it's the most undesirable place.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to live there. It's no place to raise your kids.
You can't grow crops.
No.
You can't raise livestock.
No. Yeah.
It's boggy. There's no
fishery.
Clean water source.
So basically, the only reason why you'd want this land is because you knew something was special about it. There was something that you wanted. You know, you wouldn't. It's like if you made your fortune or you thought there might be more treasure.
He was spending a lot of money, like you were saying, and he then became one of the most wealthiest people in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, within a space of 5 years. Yeah,
not a long time. And we've not mentioned this guy's a guy of colour. And back then it was
kind of unheard of. Yeah,
to own land.
Yeah.
Right, when you're a black man in America, especially.
Yeah, around about those times, I think. So like the 1800s.
And then to go out and buy land, not only to own land, to go out and buy land was another even bigger thing.
Now you forget this guy's come from being a slave. He's gone from being a slave. He's fought in the Civil War. He's been awarded his freedom, and then within several years, he's become one of the wealthiest men in Nova Scotia. It's kind of like a bit of a rags to riches story, but it was like nothing. Was mentioned about how he came to earn this money. So some believe that he found something on the island. But going back to the origins and how these lads kind of bought this plot of land and they wanted to kind of excavate it. And I think they did to a certain extent. Was it the Trident?
That they owned. I may be wrong on that, but I think they basically set up a company called the Trident Company.
Right, okay.
Which was basically the first funded excavation
of the money pit.
Yeah.
So, I remember a little bit.
So they've gone in trying to excavate it, and I think they started digging again, and like you were saying earlier, they were hitting oak beams.
And in the same thing again, which were the original.
Every 10 feet, they were coming across these oak beams, and they were getting 10 feet down again, and they come across more oak beams. I can't remember exactly how kind of deep they got. Was it 90?
It was as far as I'm aware, it was 90 feet they got down.
How far have they gone
at this
up to now?
At the moment, I think it's like 120 to 130 feet down.
No, I think
it's 30. Or is it because is it past the 200 mark now? So
which
yeah, I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but then you've got to start. You've got to,
exactly,
and
stayed.
This is the fascinating bit because, like I say, this was pre-excavation. So when we said earlier about them finding human remains at that depth and pottery shards, it kind of You kind of start thinking, well, where did what was? It kind of makes your mind boggle because there was nothing on the island at those times, as far as we know, or nothing documented. So
you know what makes my mind boggle with this is that all this amount of people that have actually gone on the island and destroyed the top layer, basically.
Yeah.
They've destroyed about 10 feet of it.
Not
before
only
in.
Top layer.
Oh no, they've destroyed roads. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've drained the swamp.
Then how come?
Countless holes.
The thing is, how come now you're finding items at the top end of where it's supposed to be from maps and from books that have stated that this cross mark was put here, that's where it is. And then they've come across and found, because they've found some strange stones and they're in exactly the same place.
You mean
now
Nolan's
if it
cross?
Would have been tossed and turned, it wouldn't be there. It'd either be under or it'd be somewhere.
Are you talking about Nolan's cross?
Didn't you find another kind of
There was
stone.
A guy called I forgot his first
in
name. What was he called?
Because there were little pits, weren't there? There were different pits with different ideas.
A guy called Nolan. He ended up owning a lot of the island, and he kind of
he
fell
was a
into.
Surveyor, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a surveyor. He'd heard about the mystery, and he wanted to go out there and solve it. So. I think he kind of had a bit of a feud with the Blankenship family, didn't he, for many years?
Yeah. Well, I think at first it was sharing information, and then whatever happened, which is unknown.
Yeah, because I think it was just these things happen, people have fallings out.
Well, I think when you're that kind of into whatever you believe, you're committed.
Yeah, totally, you're totally committed.
So your way is
the best way. And the way we
want to
do it and how we're
doing
it is wrong.
And no matter what, and it's vice versa.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what happened. Anyway, I think he's surveyed the whole island.
Yeah, he's got literal maps of the entire island. And
I think he was borderline obsessive.
Yeah. The best way to get into something is get obsessed with it.
What's actually happening around?
Well, whilst he was surveying, he came across what he believed to be markers on the island. And when you line them up, I think there was one on the beach, one more further inland, and then three to four stones making a cross across the island. Yeah, not an X.
Well, that's what I'm on about. But now,
you know,
that,
Nolan's cross now.
You can't have just gone to one.
Well,
block.
No, these stones are too. These stones are so large that they couldn't really be moved. And one of them actually has.
Yeah, but surroundings can.
One's on the highest point in the island.
One's actually in the water on the beach. Yeah. And one of them's actually got a Templar cross etched into it.
Right.
So it kind of makes people believe that these stones were placed rather than.
Each of the stones are a conical shape as well.
Yeah, so and then there's a lot of kind of stuff like there was an expert that came on and he said
they're pointing in a direction, but they're all pointing up, but they're all very similar shape, and it's like
if you look into the tree of life.
Interesting that the fact that
have you remember the tree of life, and they were saying that it kind of represents that. You can even kind of like, if you don't know what the tree of life is, they kind of mention it and reference it in four, where he was saying like the tree where everything kind of links together and all the energies and stuff like that.
But you get too far into this stuff, and sometimes you can make anything
possible. Of course you can. And that's what I believe about their latest find on Oak Island, because they've
just recently found a cross.
It fits
into your mind. If it's like a jigsaw puzzle and it fits in, you will agree.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the answers and all the treasures there. It just means, right, if you get to this point,
you're going to another point.
It's like they just keep giving you the next clue and the next clue and the next clue. But it's like,
so it could be a total waste of time.
They've just found this lead cross on the beach, right? And they reckon it's because of loads of storm activity over the season that's basically washed a lot of the beach away. So they've had a lot more exposed land that they had to metal detect. So Gary's gone out there and he's got his metal detector out. He's having a shufty and he's come across this lead cross, right? Now, the way it's formed, it's got kind of like a square punch hole in the top to make summit so you can hang it around your neck.
Yeah.
And what they believe it to be now is a Templar cross. Now, in the previous episode, they'd been to France. Yeah, a very early Templar cross, right?
Right.
Now, earlier on, they'd been to this French monastery where they kept Templar knights prisoner, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of etchings in the wall, and it's like Templar graffiti. So
I believe only four.
They were all being executed.
So they were all in this cell and they were chiseling the last memoirs and whatnot and little drawings and stuff in the walls. Yeah. And Marty Lagina, Fingy Lagina, Paul Lagina, is it? Well, the older brother, right? He's basically seen this image on the wall, which is the same image as this cross. But then he finds this cross on the beach a week later, right? So he's kind of like, Paul's just said about the reading into things. He's just seen this same image on a wall in France.
Never seen it before.
And all of a sudden it's just turned up in a physical object on the beach. Yeah. It did blow his mind, didn't it? It was like, this is solid evidence that the Templar are linked to this mystery.
I think it goes to show that little things can influence.
I was just about to say something about that.
In a very big way.
But there's been absolutely loads of people linked to this mystery. Shakespeare.
They've destroyed it before they even got to examine it.
Pirates.
Captain Kidd. Who else? There's been absolutely loads. And even kind of in modern day conspiracies, there's even US presidents that had visited Oak Island, like Roosevelt and Eisenhower, were like people who had actually excavated and interested in the Oak Island mystery.
Yeah, I think the main theories is Templars, pirates, or hidden treasure from
Civil War.
Oh, the Spanish.
The Spanish, which was to do with the British. Now, we've not glossed over this, but we'll gloss over it now. You've got the British, which attacked a port in Haiti.
Yeah.
And basically, as far as it goes, it was the biggest plundering in all of history.
Not British? No, never. Never, so. How dare you?
And so the British go into this port, plunder it for every penny, extort everybody on the whole place, and basically make Spanish richest port in that they own, basically, which makes the most money. It's the best place to be, and we just decimate it. And the treasure that we stole from there didn't all end up back,
back
at
in
the crown.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Weren't there something like 2 tons missing or something like that? And the ship was supposed to have gone down that area.
In modern day terms, to 20 million.
Well, the Spanish have got no sense of humour about missing treasure,
really. It's a lot in our turn, but it's a lot of money.
Well, what was all that Spanish gold that was Spanish gold and silver that was recovered not so long ago from a Spanish galleon? As soon as that was recovered, it was taken back by the Spanish government.
They're
not very, like,
finger.
Well, the
was
end
that
of
the British Channel.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And basically, like a salvage team went down. They found it, and they were bringing up like literal bricks of gold and literal bricks of silver. And
years of court battles.
Yeah,
like
of course he did. And like they put all this money into the investing
Spanish
into finding
sent
it.
Sent their navy out.
Yeah, because they were having none of it. They were like, "That's ours. Thank
this
you."
Is ours.
Yeah, of course it was. It was on our galleon. It was in. You know, it was. We were transporting
things.
It. Oh well.
Yeah, I don't know how that actually turned out. So
yeah, well, I might have to have a look into that. Yeah. But this is what I'm getting at, is the Spanish don't have it. I've probably never had a sense of humour about missing gold and treasure. So.
Oh, would you? Well,
you know what, anyway?
No.
If they find, let's say, right, somebody finds something at the bottom of this place, right?
If they ever
who
get there.
Owns...
Yeah, because there's going to be a fire over it.
Is it?
Well, you get salvaging rights, don't you?
Is it classed as historical?
Well, you should do.
If it's historical, though, I get salvaging rights.
Yeah, I know, but then is it whose waters is it found in? Is it like
well,
is it linked to?
Just,
is it going to cause an international incident?
In Oak Island.
What's that?
If these lads, the Laginas, end up finding something.
Oh, yeah. Are they going to have it taken off them?
The
Canadian government have put a lot of money into this. So I think they've actually backed the Laginas to a certain extent. I think...
So they must believe.
So I think that the Canadian government believe that there is something there.
Well, they're doing their work
there.
For them.
Yeah, and they're doing the work for them. And if it does come off and they happen to find anything...
Now,
I'm not talking they're putting ridiculous amounts of money in. I'm pretty sure the Laginas and other sponsors and whatnot are putting in the most money, but they are one of their backers. And like, if the like you say,
would you be happy with the money
if,
back?
If you were a government who've been investing in a salvage operation, and then for a Spanish government or any other country that potentially any treasure found might be linked to, then
would you be happy with a percentage back, 10% back?
What, as a finder's fee?
Yeah.
Depends how much
all right,
it was going
you
for.
Double
though,
your
really.
Money back. Double how, your money back that you've invested
how
into
How do you
it.
Get that money back, though?
Well, it's like it'll go
are
down
just
to...
Are you going to shake it straight out of some government?
Well, yeah, that's what will probably happen. Yeah,
well, yeah,
some
it'll
government
come out
pop,
the, finances.
It'll come out of, like, cultural so cultural sort
I'll,
of thingy.
See, the thing is, we've already established the quite a successful guys, these two.
Yes.
What is the point?
History.
Well, because they've
historical
just because
facts.
I think his brother is so kind of
I understand
he wants to do it for his brother. He wants to he wants to put that to bed for good for good or bad. If there's something there, that's amazing. If there's nothing there, at least we looked and we know, right? But I don't know why he seems so hell-bent on trying to do that for his brother.
See,
but
it
like,
makes me think that it's...
But maybe they just think
guys,
that they're going to want to make their mark on history.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, it totally
yeah,
is.
It has, yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
You know
they're
forget,
the modern-day Indiana fucking Jones. That's what they are.
About whether there's something down there or not. The interesting thing is that there is...
Finding out.
There is
an answer.
Key bits of information out there that have led them to the point where they are now.
Yeah, and they wouldn't be there. And every year they make a vote, should we continue? But we've not even talked about what treasure potentially is at the bottom of the money pit.
Well, that's the thing. It's all speculation, isn't it?
So,
could be anything.
A list of things that actually have been thought of that are down there. The Ark of the Covenant.
Three Jewish faith.
Oh yeah, that what was the menorah? Is that what it was called?
Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
Apparently solid gold.
Solid gold menorah of the
UFO.
Maybe potentially a UFO.
Egyptian mummies.
A portal to another dimension. You know,
my car keys.
You know, you never know. I reckon they could be just something as simple as buried treasure, like gold doubloons.
Yeah, well, there's supposed to have been three buried treasure there anyway, but three kids had come along and found it.
There is.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it?
It's like another story to it.
Of this
I reckon
being
that the money has been found and it's just been. Yeah.
There is stories of this island being used for many, many years as a storage. And basically, it's.
A storage for what?
A vault. It's a vault to store stuff over rough times.
Right, okay.
So, for example, you may get a king who's about to come in.
I've heard these.
And, for example, it's not going too well for him. He may have the government.
Yeah, he's got heavy shit coming down on him.
Bit of dicks. So he goes, you know what? Don't bring the gold back. Put it in the storage until all this blows
over. There's actually been documented cases of these storage sort of safes all over the world. Apparently there was one in Scotland, which a lot of a lot of the Knights Templar treasures were moved to during the Crusades and stuff like that.
If you think about it, even to this day, whether you believe it's there or not, you've got Fort Knox.
Fort Knox is empty.
Whether you believe it or not, you've got places like those. You've got you've got storage places all over the planet.
Yeah.
You've even got storage places for seeds.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
DNA,
germs.
DNA, in the Antarctic. Yeah,
these are big vault. Did you know about this one?
What do you think people are going to do
Doomsday
in 100,000 years I've got when a vault. They dig one of them up? Do you know what I mean?
When they think, what the fuck? Here's one for you. Do you know the biggest vault in the world is owned by the Mormon faith? And what they use it for is data gathering. So they've got data on every one of us, right? Because what they do is, do you know those genealogy websites? When you go on it and it says, fill
helps,
it out,
see
where you're connected to whoever and track your family tree.
That's
right. Well, all you're doing is filling in the paperwork for these guys, right? Because they want to know everything.
You don't get nothing.
Because do you know why they do it? Because they believe in their faith that they can save everybody by proxy, just by knowing about you, right?
Saying they might be the men in black then?
Right. They can save your soul by proxy just because they know about you. And if you're in their database and you're in their big vault...
Which you will be.
Then if you end up waking up in a white light and you're a Mormon, you know why.
You know what? The next time I see a Mormon, I might give him a hug.
Yeah. For just being there.
You'll save my soul.
I've been giving you crap all my life. I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know a Mormon if I popped over one, to be fair.
I never knew what a Mormon was about, but you know, now I think that there's somebody out there that's thinking, you know what?
I'm going to save you.
So every time you filled out any random form on the internet, you've probably filled out a bit of
Mormon
information.
You don't need a credit card, but he's going to save you.
Now you can Google that, and you'll be surprised how big this place is. Big mountain vault.
I am going to wear family tree the shit out of me tonight.
Well, leave me off it, will you? They probably know about me anyway. So, so in conclusion to the Oak Island mystery, I think there's still a lot left to be discovered on this one. I mean, I think we could even deserve a revisit on this one, I think.
I think they need to think about it more than just go in and fucking dig. I mean, they have thought about it, but they need to think about it.
They've started bringing in, like, more sophisticated equipment, and they've been sonars and stuff like that, but it seems that every time they pick a spot to dig, the target moves, and they found like caverns and caves and stuff and voids under the ground at the depth that they're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's whether anything is there.
Well, let me
not.
Go into more the side that is probably not more shared about Oak Island is probably the side of what a geologist would say.
Would he say that?
What would a geologist
say? That's what he'd say.
A geologist
would say
did. Sorry about that.
That was the alarm going off. We've got to evacuate the building in a second. So we're professionals, so we're going to finish the podcast first.
And you can find many videos on this on YouTube or Vimeo or any of the other major video streaming sites. But the island is underneath. There's a lot of limestone.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And just a mile offshore is the mainland. And on the mainland, there's a lot of sinkholes on the mainland.
Yeah. I was about to say this, actually. I actually thought of it earlier. If they carry on excavating, that place is going to sink.
Now, yeah. You can say...
We go back to the original boys that found this place, and they revisited in the daylight, and they saw this depression in the ground, there is a very, very strong possibility that that depression in the ground was a sinkhole that had basically collapsed underneath.
So,
and created this, and
the winch was like an added extra, like something that, well, there was a winch there, so it must have been.
And because, well, maybe it was an already a sinkhole that had sunk in and then been filled back in.
Yeah.
So there may have actually been something in there. Yeah.
Like a well or something like that. Like,
who knows, whatever.
Well, they've gone through booby traps and like stuff like that.
Well,
so.
No, because it's the evidence of the logs and stuff like that. And the stone, we didn't even get to the 90-foot stone.
There is a lot of... When they're finding these cabins and stuff, and stuff that's fell in, and it's like, oh, they're bringing stuff up.
Yeah.
Maybe that stuff was originally at the top of the ground, but because the ground...
They've been digging it, it's been falling in
the
pit.
Well, because they've been digging or sinkholes happening, that stuff then falls in. But the way stuff falls in, if you ever watch an hourglass...
I agree with you.
So you
it sinks, doesn't it?
It's going to sink.
Yeah, of course it does. And you are right. That's physics, and I totally agree with that. But what the people who are into this this mystery and this this conspiracy, I suppose, I'll always come back to is the logs. And like, we didn't even mention it earlier, but there was a stone found at 90 foot, wasn't there? And the markings on the stone have never been deciphered. Well, they deciphered them as... And some experts over years deciphered them at 100 feet.
£40 will be found.
£40 will be found. Or £40 million, £4 million will be found. Or something along those lines. So straight away they were like, right, it's the next one down. So they break through. And they say, God, there's so much more to this story. So they break through, and the tunnels end up flooding because
they have a metal staff, and one of the lads starts beating on the floor.
Yeah.
And he hears this hopeful sound of...
Like of a wood on metal.
Wood on metal. So
he's thinking he's found the treasure chest there, definitely.
And they come back the next day and it's flooded up to 32 feet.
No, fucking hell.
But it didn't dismay him.
Yeah, didn't get a piece of paper or something.
We don't get pumps and stuff like that.
I think this was a later group.
Actually loads of groups have been in and they found parchment and found like bits of gold and wood on there.
Gold chains.
On the drills.
So this credence to why they're digging there. There is like, they want to know what's down there.
All this stuff that they say they found, as you can't actually look at it because nobody's got it.
Yeah.
Like the stone.
It's all disappeared,
It's disappeared. The parchment.
Hold on. So what? The brothers have just gone,
No, this is over time because you've got to remember that there's been about eight different crews working on this, like different companies coming in saying, right, we're going to start again, we're going to excavate it our way.
Yeah.
So over time, this is why a lot of the island's been disturbed, and it's hard to get a kind of read on what's fresh data and what's contaminated data because the stuff, like, there's been a lot of people, campsites have been built there from crews, there's been construction materials thrown down holes.
Yeah.
Like in one of the holes they were discovering, there was so much debris
over
down the hole.
Over 30 holes have been dug.
That they couldn't really do anything.
Those that we know of.
And now they're trying to find the original site, or they believe they found the original site within a few hundred yards of each other. So they've got like they've done a grid map reference and found what they believe to be like the top five potential spots to drill in, and then they've narrowed it down to one.
Yeah.
They started feeling like they were getting results out of that, but then the
they
object
found older,
moved.
Older tunnels, and they call them searcher tunnels.
Yeah, searcher there. Tunnels, which were tunnels because basically when the flood tunnels flooded, like or exposed, it was basically they believed that these tunnels went to the ocean, and because the water was salty, so they were tasted like they've tasted water and they were like, this is seawater.
Yeah.
So obviously this.
And they tried to circumnavigate them by
digging sideways.
to try and get in, but then they've had to leave, and some other crews just come in and gone. Bash.
Well, more water.
Basically, but then they've started finding debris from these searcher tunnels and stuff like that over the years.
What I mean
so
about
the island's
the top
totally
soil
contaminated.
With all
really.
Them stones you were talking about with the. Now, if you would have scanned the topsoil first, you may have found that you've just.
I think
it was showing
if,
an angle of where these actual perfect points are going.
Who came along.
Or someone come along
and took a lot more care originally, I think, if. There is anything there, you would have known it from the surface because people don't just bury shit and they leave clues.
The thing is, you had a lot of bumbling people, not experts, just wading in, hadn't you? That's basically what you had. You had a lot of people who were just eager to find something and didn't think about what they were uncovering and what they were discarding and stuff like that. So then the next crews come in, done their stuff, and it's like they now the
messed all
now
the
it's in
soil.
Kind of like being handled in a professional manner that every
late.
Single bit of soil that comes out of that hole is evidence, it's looked through, it's filtered, it's sieved till they find every piece of scrap
until
of
they drain
evidence
the lot
there is
and pull the lot out. They're not going to find
well
what they want.
I think they will be going to drain
as they can be.
Shit
yeah
loads
I think
of
they're going to definitely
well, see,
drain the swamp again this season, like, and
exactly
because
that's another thing. The swamp is a very interesting area.
The swamp.
I think it's a very interesting shape.
Yeah,
I
well, there's a lot of people that believe it was two islands and it was
no,
kind
I heard
of
there's a ship there.
Joined. Yeah.
There's a ship there. One of the crusade ships, what they did was when they come up, they did
sank
all...
Sank it,
they sank it right there,
right
left
the
all the treasure in and then rolled off in
well,
the
well, they actually found planks in the swamp, but it's hard to kind of say whether they were Spanish galleon or, you know, a galleon plank without... Because they've been soaked down there, but they've...
An actual piece of eight...
Yeah, they have
yes,
found a
yeah.
piece of eight. They've found several coins. They have made
Which
quite a lot of discoveries
Spanish
on these
coins.
And
Spanish
no, coins.
Would have no business being on a British ship unless a British ship had...
The Spanish coins.
Raided
a Spanish ship. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they've also found ship nails, which are a certain sort of shape and all that. You know, basically, it's if this... It has no reason being there unless it had come off a galleon.
Yeah, because it's the misshape of the nails.
The funny thing about the treasure chests that they say pirates used as well are always kind of like offcuts of the ship. So, you know, like, they're built from scrap vessels.
Well, yeah.
Like, so you'll find that they'll repurpose these nails for, you know, for other things. For handle.
Desperate.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
Well, when they used to colonise a lot of places, because obviously they've been on ship, they've been on the sea for months. Sometimes it's anywhere from 3 months. Could be on there for a year. On the sea, the wood that you've got is rotten. It's been sea weathered.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to replace pieces.
Replace pieces, and then you use those pieces that you're replacing to build a structure.
Yeah, of course. You're gonna
if you land on an island
and you've got literally what you've got, it's like if you were in a plane crash, you'd use parts of the plane to use as structure, wouldn't you? At the end of the day, it's like
it's
necessity.
Natural,
it's just basically human necessity and behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is like quite a lot to this topic, and it is really fascinating when you kind of dive
into it
deep. Into it, and but I think, you know what, as a kind of an overview and had a good look into it, I think definitely had a
I think now
what your opinions on
should
be done.
I think it's already been taken and it's gone.
Do you think that they should give up and kind of leave it as a mystery, or do you think no matter how hard they try, they're going to never really find what they're looking for?
But then again, it's going to get wrecked anyway, isn't it, really? Either way, it's going to get wrecked, so you might as well get a fucking digger in there, dig the whole lot out, done.
Well, that's some people actually want that to happen, because at the end of the day, you know, But are you at risk of destroying something that potentially could be a like a world-changing piece of artifact?
Well, yeah, but you can still get that artifact. It doesn't necessarily mean the artifact's going to be destroyed. It just means, right,
it
take all the water out of that area.
Dig a den in it.
I watched an episode a long, long time ago.
It's cheaper as well.
And I came away from that, and I may have smoked too much weed at this particular point.
No.
Yeah. And I was lying in bed, and I kind of was thinking in a kind of a Simpsons animated way. And the way I saw it was, I was looking at Oak Island in a Simpsons animated way of this huge crater, like a quarry that had been excavated so far down that you could see lava bubbling at the bottom.
And they were still going. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's that sort of like, it's the gold rush. It's like they're so hell bent on finding it.
Even if somebody turned around and went, oh no, 100%, it was whatever was there, it's been gone, it's been spent, it's been melted down, Queen's wearing it on her head, blah, blah, blah. I think people are going, nah, there's still more there.
Nah, exactly, is it greed? Is it? Is it
no, it's the what if.
It's the hope and the mystery and the what if it is there.
For one coin. What if you miss one?
Well, maybe they found it.
You go now.
Well, in that case, if that was it, but that's it though, it'll never be enough because they'll always believe in the back of their mind that there is more to it.
People who do shipwrecks, right? They make billions and billions of dollars off these particular shipwrecks.
Well,
we were talking about Cooper's
treasure,
But yet, they still go back. Yeah. And the reason why they go back is because they're not satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've not found everything.
They have
all the information they can get. They have these logs of how much cargo they was carrying and stuff like that. And they go, well, I've not found it all.
Yeah.
You're not going to find it all. You're never going to find it all.
Oh, you might find it.
Why do you think Indiana Jones made four movies?
But one of your lads might, on his
part, those areas,
go and hide it somewhere
else. They cover the areas, in fact. They cover them, and they just guard them, and they sit there in the little ships, and it's like nobody else is getting near it, just in case. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's that's like, what
well, everyone's down for protecting their own thing. That's the sea's still got pirates. The sea's still a dangerous place to be.
Let's
you know
get
what
this
I mean?
Right.
It's like, at the end of the day, if I was a pirate in today's society, I'd still need, you know, at the end of the day, I could be collared at any point by, you know, the International Water Police, the Sea Lord or Aquaman could swoop in at any point and take me out.
Yeah, but the
if
whole
they've
point...
got, I've got all my treasure on my boat, then it's going to the authorities, isn't it? You're always going to need somewhere to hide it.
No, because you're a sovereign.
Even in this modern day, I still believe pirates are hiding treasure on islands.
Hell yeah.
Trust.
Hell yeah.
It is happening.
Yeah, it's going to be a fact. Well, no, not all of them would have been caught.
We're talking BMWs.
Yeah, I reckon these are.
We're talking nappies.
Nappies cost a fortune.
Cost a fortune.
Oh, yeah, true.
Shit.
Coffee and washing powder.
Yeah, milk.
I'm just getting my shopping list now.
That's your treasure.
Yeah, well, there's probably a lot of heroin there and all. Well, but, you know, I reckon all them shipping containers that fell off the ghost ship, right, are probably... all buried on an island somewhere, like you say, full of BMWs.
It's a triangle, isn't it? It extends.
I reckon, I actually believe there probably is something on Oak Island. But it's one of those, isn't it? It's like you can never know, and I hope that at some point that we're going to find out, and they might even come up with something, but to be honest, are they going to turn around and say it's all a load of it's fake and it's a fraud? And then, where, you know, you can't please everyone. There's always going to be somebody who believes that it's not real.
Yeah.
It's like the whole case, if like Jesus turned up tomorrow and said, I have returned, you'd be putting a mental institution straight away.
Yeah.
So
it's like, who are you to determine who I am?
Well,
exactly.
Well, if I say it must be true.
But a pirate actually is a sovereign person.
Yeah, he's
sovereign. Sovereign, they can do what they want on the waters. That's what a pirateer is.
Well, I don't know if international waters
without attacking ships.
I don't know exactly how international water rules work, but like, you know,
it's our action statues basically.
Privateer is a very similar word to pirate.
Yeah. Of course it is. It's a very similar occupation. It's just one, you're giving permission.
Occupation.
It is. And one you're giving permission and boundaries. The other one, you kind of go, I'm going to take what I want when I want.
If you say privateer in a very, very piratey accent.
Privateer. Oh no! I think we've got some sort of descendants in piracy. I do believe on one side of the family, but I don't know. They do. Yeah.
Well, you know how to find out, don't you, lads?
Oh yeah, I might go on the old registry and give the Mormons what they want. The Mormons
get
them.
Well, Mormons.
God bless you, Mormons. And on that note, we're going to call it a night for this episode of Never a Straight Answer. As always, if you want to get on the merch, we do Never Straight Answer mugs.
We do
T-shirts, baseball caps.
If you want to read less of me, please do write in or drop an email.
Yeah, let us know what you think of our new resident professor. And
I am very man, but you know.
Oh no, this is we're all man.
Try.
He's put on his firm voice today. This has been an episode of Never Straight Answer. You can get us on the old email at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter. And I've changed the handle finally. It's a bit more like glamour. We've got
glamour.
It's not, well, I say glamour. It's NASA_never. That's the best I could get it at a vanity plates. Okay. NASA_never, and you can get us on Twitter. What else are we on? We're also on all the we're all on all of the podcast networks, which is iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox. I think we're on Castbox, or is it?
Well, you go on Google. That's for Never a Straight Answer podcast.
But that Google one, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's Google. If you Google Never a Straight Answer podcast, you'll find us on any device, Android or ISO.
I know what, yeah, or Google Plex,
exactly.
Or a Graham number.
Exactly.
If you can count to a Google Plex,
bam,
you win this week's special prize. You can catch me on Gaz Duncan on Instagram, on Twitter, and all those other social media types. You can catch Taylor on... Not much, because he doesn't use social media.
Yeah. And you can't catch me on anything, because I don't use social media. Well,
you tinfoil hat wearing motherfuckers. I don't mind.
I ain't having the CIF watching me or whatever they're called.
I don't mind. It's like my life's not that interesting.
Fuck the CIG.
The mother effing GIB, then the MIB. And now that's next week's topic. potentially. Now I think we're going to do another one, I think, on UFOs at some point. Yeah. So yeah, we're probably going to get that one done. And so this has been Gaz.
This has been Taylor.
This has been P-Dog, Paul.
For Never a Straight Answer. And we'll catch you again next time. Take care, everybody.
See you later.
Peace out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.